Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Three and Out podcast. I'm Kyle Reams. Today, I'm joined by Mikey Schwartz.
What's up?
Jade of Pant.
Hello.
And Alex Amster.
Hey, guys.
We know it's been a while, but we thought we would come back for the end of 2019, end of the 2010s, actually, and do a little bit of a decade wrap-up, just talk about some of the biggest moments, biggest people, and just everything that happened during the decade. So starting off in college football, this is going to be me, Mikey, and Jadav. What do you guys think was the craziest moment of the decade so far?
I've got to say it was the Iron Bowl kick return touchdown.
That's what I was going to go with.
Yeah. Awesome.
I think the only other one that can make the argument, the one that jumps to my mind completely, is the Deshaun Watson, little Hunter Renfro.
That was just like an out route, though.
Yeah, but what about, it signified.
What about the Tua game winner?
No.
That's up there for sure.
That's an overtime game winner.
It was lame.
He wasn't starting at the beginning of the game. Throws a 40-yard touchdown.
I don't know why it just didn't register with me.
Okay, but you're saying an out route.
Yeah, but that signified
a
more.
Four-yard out route.
That was Dabo's like, okay, I actually don't know.
Tua came in the second half of the national championship game.
And it's funny how it just doesn't. I think it's because he's so good now. I think if he was a one game thing. Yes, I think I would. I mean, is there anything else that really matches those two? I can't think about it.
I think that the top three would be the Iron Bowl. Michigan State.
Oh, that was wild. That's the best. Besides Iron Bowl, that's probably the best regular season moment.
I'm trying to think. There's not much else. How about that 1 week, that like 2 week stretch where the all-time, like in the most rushing yards in a game got broken like three times in the same week.
That was like 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was Melvin Gordon broke it, and then the next week some Oklahoma State guy broke it.
Yeah.
Was that Rashad Penny? It was someone good.
I think it was Rashad Penny. No. I mean, Oklahoma State is like one of those teams, like they just break every record, I feel like. single game.
So, now, how about, we talked about the best moments. What about the best team of the decade? I mean, I think
this is a hard one. This is a really hard one.
If you're looking at just the last 5 years, Alabama.
No, I'm talking about single season.
Single
season best team of the decade. Really hard.
I could. I think it could be Deshaun Watson's Clemson.
I have three contenders right now. I have the Cam Newton Auburn team. Insane.
Okay.
I have the Trevor. I like last year's Clemson team a lot. I think that defensive line was ridiculous.
Oh yeah, that had like three or four first round picks or whatever.
And then I think
Samaje Perine. That's who it was.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's one more. Oh, Jameis Winston first year they go undefeated. Insane team. Kelvin Benjamin and Jameis Winston. That was a ridiculous team.
I forgot
team.
Kelvin Benjamin was on that team.
That was a ridiculous team.
I would put one forward, not good team, fun team. Manziel, Mike Evans, Texas A&M.
That's the decade-defining team, I'd say.
That changed college football.
I wouldn't. In what way?
No, I'm kidding. That is such a memorable team.
Yeah. Alabama, them, game of this decade, by far. Alabama, Texas A&M, game of the decade.
Up there.
I would say it's up there. You'd probably put it top three. I mean, I'm going to go right now in terms of best all-around team, top to bottom. It's either... What was the year they blew out Notre Dame, Alabama?
I don't remember.
Was it like 2013, I want to say? Something like that. They had like AJ at quarterback. Let me see. 2013, BCS National Championship. I think it's between that team and I'd say Trevor Lawrence's Clemson team.
Trevor Lawrence's Clemson team overall was so good.
They blew out Alabama. Think about, like, that needs to register in your head.
Yeah.
They're one of the most dominant teams, like, ever. I'm gonna go with Trevor's team. Especially if he winds up being the quarterback we all think he's gonna be. That's the most dominant team of the decade.
What about the 2015 Buckeyes' first college football playoffs? They won 42-20.
The greatest QB room of all time.
Yep.
They've
got to be up there.
Yeah, but Cardell came in too late. I need a quarterback who's been playing the entire year. I mean, technically Trevor Lawrence didn't play the entire year.
True,
but,
that's true.
But like, I just think, yeah, I'm gonna go with Clemson here. I think that's my.
What about RG3 Baylor?
No, that's a most Big 12 team of the decade.
And now, I was trying to find a list of best games of the decade, and there were some that we missed. Honestly,
Andrew Luck USC Stanford game. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, USC Penn State Rose Bowl.
LSU-A&M, the 7 overtime game.
That game, if that game meant something, that's the best game of all time. Like, if that
for
was
sure.
in the playoffs or, like, had something
or, like,
at stake.
They, or, like, they were playing. I mean, that was the Joe Burrow. You know that was the Joe Burrow. That's when people learned about the name Joe
Burrow.
Yeah,
because he
very fast
died.
He
like,
did die.
He had an IV after the game because he'd, like...
Because playing
he rushed for four touch or he threw for four touchdowns and rushed for 3 in 7 OT
and playing
and
in
lost.
That heat. Yeah, I know. I mean, that was just
wild.
That is a wild game.
So now, just we talked about teams for one season. How about most dominant, just dynasty wise?
Alabama under AJ McCarron. not under Tua, not under Greg McElroy, but under AJ McCarron.
The way you're phrasing that makes me think, like, for some reason brings the image of A.J. McCarron as the coach.
I guess that'd be, like, what? Alabama under Kirby Smart as defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That is the most dominant period of Alabama of the decade, I'd say. Or you could make the argument Urban Meyer, Ohio State. One of the two. I'm leaning towards McCarron just because of the national championship numbers, though.
Mikey, what do you think?
I've got to agree with you there. They were so dominant for so long. They still are, but not to the same level. So separating AJ McCarron's team for sure.
What about Georgia being always close for the past 5 years?
No. I'm sick and tired of Georgia
I think
now.
Just Bama over the decade, not even one specific Bama team. I think if you're just looking at the whole decade, there's not been a more successful program so consistently.
I think it's the most dominant college football dynasty.
Yeah.
In terms of a decade span of all time. All
right, and now looking at players specifically, who would you go? Most dominant, most game-changing.
Let's split this up. Let's go most dominant and most memorable.
Most memorable, Manziel.
I think Johnny Football also. I'm going to have to go memorable Johnny Football. And best player of the decade, Cam Newton. Cam Newton.
You're huge into Cam Newton.
He carried that Auburn team. He beat Alabama. He beat a Florida team that was still relevant. He beat a lot of good teams mm-hmm. that year. And he did it with what was his only help? Nick Fairley on the defensive line. That's a disgusting roster.
Yeah.
And he made it work somehow. It's him or Jameis. That's my personal opinion.
Jameis, really?
Mine's definitely Jameis.
Really?
For best?
A surprise. He had undefeated seasons on not an incredible FSU team.
He lost one game in his 2 years? Something like that.
It was something like that.
It was...
Choked in the playoffs, like hard.
But that team, that program hasn't been close to the same since he left.
That's
and
true.
And I think that shows the dominant player that he was.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think Cam is up there.
Is Baker up there? No.
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 Baker didn't have enough time. Case Keenum.
he has the record still?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have the record for passing yards still?
I think so. But another insanely dominant player, Mikey was just saying it, Lamar Jackson.
Wow, I forgot.
Yeah.
And he aged well. It's all about aging well.
Lamar Jackson, I think we remember more good college players when they're not good in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because like it stands out more. But Lamar Jackson, that one season... was insane. Oh, another one. I'm going deep for this one. Khalil Tate from Arizona.
No.
Remember that when he had that one.
Oh, the stretch.
That stretch, that second half of the season, and he got on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Oh, we thought he could make the Heisman.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was
that.
So good.
That was ridiculous.
In like six games, it was 9 games, he had like 1,400 passing yards, and it was 1,400 rushing yards and 1,000 passing yards in 9 games.
That's ridiculous.
That's one of the most dominant stretches I've ever seen.
Remember when TCU and Boise State were good?
State's all right.
But
borderline top 25.
Remember when it wasn't just UCF taking that slot? Mm-hmm. That was really funny.
I need to find these stats.
So I think we all agreed the person in college football who defines the decade is Saban, by far.
Not by far. I think Meyer gets.
Oh my god! Wait, hold on. Sorry. These are Khalil Tate's stats: 1,400 rushing yards, 1,600 passing yards, 26 TDs, 9 games.
Wow.
26 TDs.
That's jeez. Absurd.
That stretch is.
An all-timer. That's
a Pac-12, but like still.
I mean, what, he played all of those games probably on average at 8 o'clock at night?
That's tough.
11 o'clock Eastern time? Yeah.
What about running backs if you put them in there?
I mean, just
Fournette.
In terms of best, or most dominant.
Monty Ball.
Leonard Fournette, don't get me started. Leonard Fournette that one year was insane. Christian McCaffrey.
Derrick Henry
was really
good. I'd go
good.
With Derrick
Henry. Melvin Gordon on Wisconsin.
I would say the most consistent running back, I think, like career wise, the best of the decade, Jonathan Taylor.
I'll say Jonathan Taylor also. I'll second
there
that.
Is no, I would agree too. There is no running back this decade that had that much production for that long. Like everyone else had an off year left or something, but he.
I think I read somewhere like his stats like simulate like the average 5-year career.
Yeah, he's insane. And
like it would take 5 years for most running backs to reach his
numbers. He's probably going to break the record. I think he has broke the record. I don't know.
He has. Well.
Compared to Ron Dane. But all right, I'm going to propose a question now. Let's go a little bit of position by position. Like QBU.
Ohio State.
Really?
Joe Burrow. Dwayne Haskins. JT Barrett. Cardale Jones. Yeah. Braxton Miller.
The only other one I would say is close is Oklahoma.
I think 5 versus 2.
3.
Or is Bradford in this decade?
No. 3. Jalen. Mikey, what do you think, QBU?
Yeah, I got to agree with J-Dev, but I do think that OU will pass them soon because once Spencer Rattler takes over, I think mm-hmm. he's going to be an elite college football quarterback, especially under Lincoln Riley. So yeah. Look for them to pass them.
I think Ohio State for sure, too. I think Oklahoma has an argument, but just Ohio State had 3 in 1 year. That QB room was insane.
Oh, we forgot about Tathan.
And also, yeah, that team is so good.
I don't think there's anyone close.
Running back, you, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Wide receiver, you, LSU. LSU or Ohio State?
What about Alabama?
Alabama.
Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley.
Odell, Kevin Jarvis White. Landry. Actually, yeah.
Amari Cooper.
I'll lead towards Alabama on that one.
LSU had OBJ and
defense in general, you, is just... Alabama. There's not even
DBU's
LSU.
LSU.
Except for DBU. Minus
no, DBU can be a toss-up at this point between LSU, Ohio State, and Alabama.
Defensive line U is Ohio State. Bosa, Chase Young.
Both Bosas.
Both Bosas, Chase Young. They've had guys before then. Like it's clear.
Yeah, but DBU I think is the most contentious one because LSU up until 2016 was running away with it, but then Ohio State and Alabama have had some really good...
I'd still go with LSU. That's 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Offensive line, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
This seems... Yeah, that's good.
Kickers.
Kicker you.
I feel like A&M.
Florida State.
Oh, the Aguayos. Both Aguayos.
Which coach defines a decade?
Saban. Come on.
Is there anyone close?
Urban Meyer's up there.
Dabo and Urban are up there.
Is the shortlist Saban, Meyer, Dabo?
Chip Kelly.
No.
I'm only half joking.
Chip Kelly's honorable mention. I'll give him a slight honor just because he left and it just didn't work.
Yeah. No. But Chip Kelly really did actually do a lot for the spread offense and in terms of having a rushing QB, he did a lot of innovative stuff. But I think that list is... In this order, in the order of Nick Saban, Urban, Dabo.
Yeah. How would you, one more to define the college football decade?
Over.
Coach or player?
One word?
One word. It can be anything. It can be a player, coach, an adjective. Like, it can be anything.
That's
really
a tough one.
It's a really good question.
Playoffs. I don't like this question.
No.
I'd go with dominance. I guess, like, the Blue Bloods have stayed on top for so long and no one can really compete.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's transfer. Last three Heisman quarterbacks, all transfers. We are living in a new decade of college football.
Where'd Kyler go?
Kyler was at Texas A&M before, remember?
Oh,
he played baseball. The last three quarterbacks have all been transfers. That's insane. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, we are living in a new decade of college football, and I think...
And Justin Fields was in the running this year. He was transfer QB.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, just visualizing it, I think we're going to look in the college football history books, but we're going to call this era as the Saban era.
Mm-hmm.
The 2010s Saban era. Final question. Who's gonna be the guy of the next decade? I know this is a really hard question with college football.
Yeah, because the guy of the next decade's in middle school right now.
Yeah, but I'm talking, let's go coach. Is this going to be a Clemson decade or a Oklahoma decade? That's a real
Oklahoma. I think I like Lincoln Riley more Lincoln Riley does more because Dabo, he's like one of those, it's getting rarer nowadays. He's not a play calling coach. He's a motivating, like organizing coach. And I respect that. And I think that takes a lot of skill, but I think Lincoln Riley is going to be better to kind of adapt to what's happening.
How many national championships for?
I have, bro, for
Lincoln in the decade.
I can't put a number on that because
I'd say two.
Anything can happen.
Right now I'd go with two. If he gets Rattler for a solid 3 years, I'd say he wins one with them, and he gets one more. He gets one more with a high school quarterback.
The thing about college football is it resets.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. The only thing that is constant is coaching and the location. So you can't. Like, a team that sucks now might get an amazing. Like, remember, Alabama had one good recruiting class and became a dynasty.
Do you think that actually brought me to my next question. Do you think Alabama dominates the next? Do you think Alabama?
Not as much.
Do you think Alabama's still relevant?
It's still relevant for sure. It's Alabama.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
That reputation is going to carry them. Like that's the thing. That's once you're successful, you're going to be successful at least a little bit because you have the reputation of a successful program. People are going to choose to go to Alabama because it's Alabama.
Yeah. If I'm going to I think the guys I'm really looking forward to for the next decade are Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix has a really dominant 2 years before he has to leave. I think he's shown a lot. I think Ohio State's going to be really good first half of the decade. I think Clemson's going to be really good first half of the decade.
Watch for Graham Mertz at Wisconsin.
No.
I've got a sleeper pick also. Right. Got a little bit of bias since I'm a fan, but Michigan. I think they've made strides this year.
Do you think Harbaugh leaves by... Let's put a mark on it, 2022.
It really depends on just Ohio State every year. He hasn't beaten them yet. I think if he loses to them next year, he's gone for sure.
He gets tenure if he beats Ohio State once in the next 3 years. I think they should give tenure to college football coaches.
And now we're going to be going into the NFL section of this, just kind of recapping the decade. So starting off, what moment do you remember? Like, what's that moment for you? And Jadav, I don't want to hear your answer.
I think it was also going to be Jadav's answer. Malcolm Butler, that interception.
Really? I was going to say 28-3.
Oh, that could be too. But I feel it's like one of the two. Game-winning play, like 20 seconds left, Malcolm Butler makes that pick on the 1 yard line.
I remember more where I was when the Malcolm Butler pick happened than I do with the 28-3.
Right.
But I think in terms of moment, I'd go with the pick. I think in terms of game, I'd go with the 28-3.
I remember watching and just because everyone had was like, all right, we're going to leave. Yeah. And then as everyone started to leave, the game got good and everyone kind of came back and we were all just sitting there like about to leave watching it for another hour. And that game was insane. But I think if we're talking moment wise, I think the Malcolm Butler pick combined with the curse catch right before that is unbeatable because those are two insane moments. Like if Malcolm Butler had not made that interception, Jermaine Curse's catch in that game is up there in terms of greatest moments in history.
It would be on the David Tyree level, yes. Regular season moment, really hard one.
Yeah.
Because it's just like we don't really...
We're all going to have biased ones like of our teams and stuff.
Well, I've got one.
What's yours?
The Rams-Chiefs Monday night game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was at that game. It was so awesome. 54-51.
Yeah.
Remember when Big Ben threw the slant Duron Harmon pick? That's a fun one. Against the Patriots.
I think what else? The Chargers last play 2-point conversion against the Chiefs. Obviously, I'm a Chargers fan, so I'm biased, but...
Let me think. Like, 2010. See, like, Brady doesn't really have close
regular season games.
Yeah. I wouldn't really say anything in the I this is a hard one.
The Steelers Patriots.
Yeah, that's what I was going with, the Duron Harmon pick.
No, the interception.
Yeah, that's the.
I mean, the dropped catch. Sorry, in the end zone.
Oh yeah, the one they ruled Jesse James one.
Was Santonio Holmes' catch this decade?
That was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but was that in this decade? Real question.
No, that was a Kurt Warner era. Or that was in the Super Bowl. I mean, the DeSean Jackson punt return. DeSean Jackson punt return number one,
where he fumbled it and then picked it back up.
Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary against Seattle.
Against Seattle.
Against the Lions.
No, the one where they called it. Remember, one was
Fail Mary.
Fail Mary. Yes. I forgot about Fail Mary.
The Lions won, too. Sent him to the playoffs.
Tony Romo. I remember Tony Romo lost some game that he should have won. I don't remember what it was. It was like he lost some game that like was ridiculous. Like it was like they were supposed to win. It was a Sunday night game.
Was Peyton Manning's 24-3 comeback in the 2010s?
Against.
I forget who it was against, but I remember.
Yeah, but I think my answer is the DeSean Jackson punt return. I think that moment was in regular season is just unbeatable in terms of. Like, that's up there with the kick six for me. That's an insane play. Yeah. Muff a punt, pick it back up, and then run through everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Phil Mary, honestly. I think that was just a fun. I mean, that was ridiculous. And then I think the most memorable fantasy moment of the decade, Doug Martin, 45 points. Or whatever, that the greatest stat line I think I've ever seen in my life.
I think my favorite playoff moment, playoff game, is the Packers-Cardinals game. That game was crazy. The divisional round one where Rodgers had the back-to-back Hail Marys and then the Larry Fitzgerald, slant route to end it.
Yeah, Jeff Janis. That was kind of beast. I'm not going to lie.
Jeff Janis went off that game.
Amster, favorite regular season and playoff moment decade?
So, regular season for me, this is interesting.
I know your answer.
This is one of these moments where, you know, you just remember where you are. It's week 14, 2011. Yeah. There's, tears in my eyes just talking about it. Giants, Cowboys, you know, in Jerry World. And really, this was just a game that, you know, everyone wrote off the Giants. Chris Collinsworth before the game said, you know, the Cowboys are healthy. You know, there's, you know, the expectation is that they win this game. The Giants, I believe, were going in a game back from the Cowboys. I don't know their exact records. I believe the Giants were 6-6 and the Cowboys were 7-5.
That was a good game.
And the Giants came back and won 37-31. But it was one of those games. It was just unbelievable. Brandon Jacobs just had a monster game. JPP with a blocked field goal. We ended up beating them again in week 17 to clinch the division. But that was just so awesome. Miles Austin had a huge drop. You know,
I'm surprised you didn't go with Odell catch. Really? I thought you would go with the Odell catch.
Favorite game? They lost
the
game.
No, we're talking about favorite regular season moment.
Moment. Like, yeah, I would still go. I mean, the Odell catch. I don't care. Like, yeah, I loved Odell. Yeah, I knew he was gonna be.
He's gone.
Yeah, I knew he was gonna be a great player. It has nothing to do with him being gone. We lost the game. Right. I'm part of a winning culture. Like, I have standards.
Says the Giants fan.
I hold my team's favorite moments to winning moments, and that's why I'm gonna go with the 2011. You know, week 14, just into Dallas, that huge victory. You know,
mine is
JPP block field goal would be the specific moment.
My Chargers bias one would have to be the Mike Williams touchdown 2-point conversion in the last
Thursday Night Football 2018 against the Chiefs,
with no time left, ballsy decision to go for two. And then my favorite other one, non-biased, non-Chargers one, is the miracle at the New Meadowlands, the DeSean Jackson punt return, the most memorable play I've ever seen. And now, what do you guys... This is an easy question. What's the dynasty of the decade?
I mean...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Cleveland Browns.
What's the anti-dynasty? I think that would be
the Cleveland Browns.
It is the Cleveland Browns.
No, is there Bengals. A term
no,
for...
No, because the Bengals have made the playoffs. They've been choking. They choke playoff
it's
games.
It's because they fired...
They were 12-4 one year.
It's because they fired Marvin Lewis. They were always relatively decent.
Over the last couple years with Marvin Lewis, it wasn't great.
I think that they were so consistently mediocre that that's the opposite of a dynasty.
The opposite of a dynasty is going to be not consistently mediocre, but consistently horrific,
right.
And that just perfectly describes the Browns.
Dynasty also means
not
stability.
The Browns franchise, not even over the last decade.
Think about how many quarterbacks they've gone through, how many coaches they've gone through.
Alternate one, the Titans, the most irrelevant team in the NFL.
I'd go with the Chargers, personally.
Yeah, I do think the Chargers, just because they're a small market and their like lack of winning and their lack of like star talent, really. Without LT, there was not really like a face of the franchise that you knew would like take them on and win games for them. So, I mean, that's my take on that.
Interesting. All right, and now, who was the most dominant player of the decade?
This one, I don't know if it's going to come to a surprise to you guys. I'm not going to say Brady because he really wasn't that dominant.
Right.
I'd say like 2010, until he got back to the Super Bowl, he was like relatively average.
What's your answer?
So most dominant player of the decade, even though he's still balling today, Adrian Peterson. I think this guy, what he did coming off that torn ACL, that was just
unbelievable. He never tore his ACL, conspiracy theory.
I know that one season where he ran, almost beat Dickerson's record, fell like 30 yards short. That was the single greatest season ever by a running back, in my opinion.
He also made the argument that like, you can come back from an ACL injury.
Right.
That changed the game. That changed the scope of what an ACL injury means.
He also redefined the running back position a little bit, because running back shelf life usually is like after 30, it's like, well, I don't know. But I mean, this is a guy who's still breaking records. He's still playing for the Redskins, and it's an unfortunate situation where he's in some financial troubles, but I think when this guy hit the field, you know, and especially in the early 2010s, it's just unbelievable the talent he has. He's not going down. It's going to take more than one guy to take him down. I mean, there's so many highlights. Adrian Peterson is the epitome of a running back. The only complaint I have about him is his pass catching ability, but even that you can't critique too much.
All right.
I'd probably go with it's between me. It's Brady, Rodgers, or Breeze. I think it's one of those three.
Well, I mean, we're talking about most dominant. You know,
so I think
those are the most valuable, right?
No, but decade. Like I think that was it. Drew Brees in this decade.
Yeah, you can make an argument.
You can
about
make
Brees,
the
I'd
argument
say.
There.
I would agree with that.
In this decade, I have a couple interesting ones for me. Ready? Joe Thomas.
No, he can't be an offensive lineman.
Why?
No, I mean, he was the epitome of, you know, the missed snap, you know, no, like, barely really any
He didn't miss a snap.
Until he was done.
Like, he never, once he stopped playing, he never stopped playing when he started. I think that he played the entire decade, basically. He was always dominant, and he never missed a game. He never missed a snap, and that's dominance. And another one, J.J. Watt.
Well.
Three-time Defensive Player of the Year.
I know, but what his injury history concerned. Like Marshall Yanda, I think, by the way, you could throw in that
another offensive lineman, yeah.
Right, with Joe Thomas in that similar category.
Kelechi Osemele.
Right.
Ravens have good offensive
line. This is a bit off topic, but, you know, Ronnie Stanley just having an unbelievable year, like one of the best years ever in NFL history for a left tackle for the Ravens. They've really rebuilt that line better, and I think he'll be in the Joe Thomas, you know, category when it's all said and done.
Another one, I'm just going to keep throwing out names. Richard Sherman.
Julio Jones, by the way.
Julio Jones.
That's what I was considering saying.
In terms of pure dominance, Julio Jones and right. I think Aaron Donald.
Right.
Just like, I know he's only been in the league for 4 or 5 years, but just in terms of...
Khalil Mack as well.
Bobby Wagner, too. Just in terms of the pure dominance that they have, we kind of just named the old...
And
honestly, you could put in Justin Tucker there. He's the epitome of like a perfect kicker. Like,
Johnny Hecker for punter.
Vinatieri.
Hecker's been so as of late. But
also, if we're talking dominance, I'd definitely put Gronk.
Tight end.
Honestly, yeah, I think I like that. I think Gronk was honestly the most dominant player of the decade. When healthy, he could not be guarded, and his value is the Shaq.
He is the Shaq of the NFL.
How is Gronk that much different than J.J. Watt though?
Well, the difference with Gronk is that there's more winning,
Well, I mean, neither of them play a position that's gonna single-handedly lead to wins.
He translated more to wins than J.J.
Watt.
Right.
That's fair.
And I think that the difference with Gronk is he can affect the game in so many ways. You could put a double team on Watt, and he wasn't too. You know, other than that Cincinnati game in the playoff, I don't remember him being.
Belichick used to scheme for J.J. Watt every single game, and he'd do nothing against New England. Every single time they played.
I think Gronk took that New England team over the edge, and without him, I don't think there's a dynasty, and that's why I'd put him in that like echelon of dominance.
I agree. I mean, just in terms of pure like unguardability, he's up there. Another one I think we're forgetting, Calvin Johnson.
Right.
Megatron.
I was going to mention him, but I mean, I think, like, you know, it's unfortunate with the injuries and everything, but he could still be playing today and still be dominating.
Right. So good.
AJ Green. I mean, consecutive 1,000-yard season. Mm.
Antonio Gates.
By the way, Antonio Brown, if you want to talk about dominance.
Yeah.
That one stretch.
Arian Foster.
But
Sean Moreno.
Think about this for Antonio Brown. 5 consecutive seasons, I believe, with over 100 receptions. I mean, that classifies as dominance to me.
I think we are seeing the beginning of one of the most dominant players, Mike Thomas.
Let's see when Breeze leaves.
I mean,
I need to see Breeze gone
against when he hit Bridgewater.
I mean, here's the thing with Michael Thomas. I like him, but I don't like talent wise. I don't see all of it, to be honest.
I agree, but I think that is
impressive. He's like a glorified Michael Crabtree, in my opinion, right?
He's not the fastest. He's not the biggest. He's a solid.
He's just a better version. No, he's literally just a better version of what's his face, the old Saints wide receiver Marquise Colston. He's literally just a taller Keenan Allen. No, he's a glorified version of Marquise Colston.
The thing about him is he's so strong and he plays so well into that system where they just throw a lot of short passes and a lot of curls, a lot of hitches, stuff where when he can get off the line, right.
But
he's in his
fourth year and he's already broken his own record for most catches in a season.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at receiver situations and you look at stability and you look what happens. Like, if you give Julio, I think Julio is still the best receiver in the NFL. I think if you give Julio
talent wise, I take Julio over everybody.
Yeah, I think. If you give Julio that supporting cast, if you give AB that supporting cast, actually not AB, scratch that. If you give Julio really that supporting cast, I think he does better.
Right. Same with Calvin Johnson.
He has this like type.
Calvin Johnson, I think, produced the most with the least.
Right. I think you can make an argument about Hopkins as well being better than Mike Thomas just because of the situation he's been put in.
Right.
He's put up those type of numbers with T.J. Yates and just some of those things. Whereas Michael Thomas has had Drew Brees his whole career.
Another one, by the way, I just like to put out there. Andre Johnson.
Right. He had his time. I do agree with that.
But I think that's mainly going to do
Like Devin Hester. I mean, I know he's a little bit.
For returns, yeah, little, yes. Little older, for yeah. returns,
but,
yeah.
One last
Tyreek
thing.
Hill, too.
One last thing I'd like to ask you guys before we go. Who do we think is the player that's going to define, or player that's in the NFL now that's going to define the upcoming decade?
Lamar Jackson.
And the reason why, the deal with Mahomes is, people are saying he's changing the game, but really, I mean, his mobility is not anything crazy.
Lamar is changing
the game. Lamar is actually changing the game. People talk about, I get it, Mahomes is a transcendent talent, but we've seen a lot of kids come out with big arms who are, pretty mobile, who can make those type of plays. We've seen it with Favre, we've seen it with Rodgers. So the Mahomes breed is not necessarily all new. But this idea of, the perfectly balanced offense, the most efficient possible, where you have a running back with 4.3 speed who can also throw a really good deep ball and who can also, I think we were all wrong at one point about Lamar Jackson and just in the fact that he's changing the game. This is a pass first league and this
right.
is a team who runs for 200 yards a game.
And I think that you have to give so much credit to Ozzie Newsome and I think his name's Eric DaCosta.
Yes. Well, Ozzie Newsome really retired and left.
Right.
Left
no, but
them
to
with
both of them, but because that team is so well built
for him.
For him.
Right.
Like, if you look at the main failure of Lamar Jackson so far in his career, which was that playoff game against the Chargers, he got flustered by the Chargers running basically no linebackers. That was the package they ran. It was like 6 DBs.
Right, and the whole idea there was if they attacked them downhill and started running the ball with the defensive
right.
backs in the box, it would force them
to
adjust.
You can't stop that. So what did they do? Sign Mark Ingram.
Right.
This team is so well built around Lamar Jackson. And
drafted two tight ends
right.
that are both very good.
I just think that Lamar Jackson, and we've never seen a player like this, and I don't think we will. I think he is, it's like you said, it's so perfectly balanced because he has such a good arm, and he's also so fast and so elusive, and I just think that he's going to be the defining player that we see.
Right. I think the Ravens did it the right way, whereas, a lot of teams will draft a quarterback and they'll say, we're trying to fit you into this mold.
Right.
The Ravens fit themselves around the Lamar mold. They saw the success at Louisville, and they said,
Let's do that.
I think this can translate in the NFL. So they put around pieces that were similar, and, it's paying off so far.
Fast wide receiver, a couple big tight ends, and a downhill running back, and, look how well it's working.
Right. I mean, you can make the argument as well for the Chiefs a little bit with Mahomes with that air raid offense. I mean, think about how much speed they have on the outside.
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill. Like, I mean, it's you know, these teams are starting to realize that, you know, the quarterbacks are so valuable. If you can accommodate to them, they're gonna put up a high level of play. It's gonna be worth it. I mean,
you can't force them into something else, considering how important they are and how game changing certain quarterbacks can be when they're given the right system. There's no reason to change them.
Right, and that's why, you know, a part of the downfall of Cam Newton, where it's like, you know, teams have been like, well, you know what, you know, we don't want you running as much. And the only concern, obviously, with Lamar and even Mahomes, you know, guys who like to dance around, but especially Lamar, is, you know, he's going to take a lot of hits. I know it's year two. You know, there's going to be high expectations now for the, you know, for the rest of his career, you know, barring, you know, what happens this year, Super Bowl run, et cetera. But I just think, you know, it's a lot of hits. It's gonna catch up to him one day. That's the only thing. You know what I mean? This is the NFL,
right?
Where it's just like, you know, even non-mobile quarterbacks. I mean, you can look at Brady now, and I think it's fair to say he's been declining.
He's been
this
beaten
season.
Down.
He has declined.
Right. Wait, and just one more thing I wanted to add it on, you know, part of like Amster's, you know, like inside information. So I did get a guarantee from the ownership that Giants coach Pat Shurmur is going to get fired. As well, Steve Tisch, the co-owner of the Giants, is basically in the state where he wants to get rid of general manager Dave Gettleman. Obviously, Mara owns 51%, so it's going to, you know, the final say is up to Mara, but it seems like at this point, Gettleman is going to be out too, and Tisch is going to be more involved in football operations than before, which basically means he's less conservative than Mara, so, you know, there could be some more wholesale changes. Look for a new head coach, maybe Matt Rhule or Mike McCarthy, just because this process could happen, you know, pretty soon before we can get a next episode out. And then for the next GM, you could look at Kevin Abrams from Inside, or maybe Nick Cassero from New England, if they can get McDaniels over, one of those two. But yeah, I expect Gettleman to be gone, most likely. Not 100% sure, but I'm 1,000% sure Pat Shurmur is gone. Just wanted to put that out there.
Follow unnamed NFL source on Twitter.
Yeah, follow my account, unnamed NFL source on Twitter.
Also, really good stuff. Right, really like it.
You know, I've been.
You'll never know who it is.
I mean, now you know who it is. But listen to the people on Twitter who see that account. You know, just know I do put work in that, and I don't tweet about anything unless I'm sure it's actual legit information.
His sources are real. We can confirm it.
Yeah. And that's gonna do it for our episode today. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy your holiday.
See you next year.
Thank you.